So for you that don't know, I am not the pastor. He a much needed weekend of rest, and so he dug deep in the barrel to give me. So my name's Jim Downing. I was a railroad engineer for 36 years. So I've been going to church here for 46 years. That saved Halloween night, 1979. So short version of that story. Before we get started, you guys, would you stand up and say hi to somebody? We got a lot of people here. Just say hi. Awesome. Thank you, you guys. Good to see y'all. I know Indian Camp, a lot of you are here from there, a lot of you travel and vacation. Pray with me, would you? We're going to do the Lord's Prayer, actually. Most of you know it. You can say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debters. And do not lead us, in mind said, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I want to read one more portion of scripture, actually, kind of before I even get started here in Mark. This is Mark's version of the Great Commission in the last part of Mark. He says, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. This sign will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's actually not the gist of the message, but it is Pentecost Sunday. So today is Pentecost Sunday. So Holy Spirit fell today when Jesus said to wait. What did he say to wait for? Power. Power of the Holy Spirit. So we are going to talk presence, power, and purpose. But I always was told you got to have a funny story or a joke, and I don't have many of those, but I did find a little one. Little Johnny went to Sunday school on Sunday. The lesson that day was from Genesis. Opening up Adam's side, took a rib from him and created Eve from it. That really stuck with Johnny. Later that afternoon, Johnny was feeling sick, and his mom asked him where he hurt, and he said, in his ribs. After about a half hour, said, are you okay? And he goes, not really. I think I'm going to have a wife. So there you go. So you could turn. One of the first main scripts we're going to go to is in Exodus 33. Our little podium here isn't really big enough. I was sliding things off. Okay, so it's been on my heart for quite a while, I call it the three P's. Purpose, power, and, presence, power, and purpose. And I've, like, where do you put those? Is there an order in those? Kind of a tough question, because they're supposed to mesh. They're supposed to mesh together And we can get caught up in purpose and forget the other two, or more likely we'll get caught up in the desire for power and forget the other two. And they're all vital. So you don't have to turn to these, but in Psalm 16:11, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Luke 24 says, to be clothed with power from on high. Romans 8:28, called according to your purpose. So that kind of fills this whole thing together. But in Ezekiel 33, Exodus, did I say Ezekiel?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15 is where I'm going to start, and then I'll go back a little bit. But I'm reading out of the New American, by the way. Verse 14 says, and he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, this is Moses, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. So I was thinking, okay, Lord, we want your presence. But why were they struggling so much? Now, most of us know the story. The Exodus. I mean, did they see power? I mean, they've been praying, remember, for hundreds of years for God to deliver. They were in slavery for 430 years. And they had been praying for God to deliver. And so God comes in, probably not the way they thought it would be with that Moses at first. But the power, the 10 plagues, power, the parting of the Red Sea, huge power, providing manna and all the different stuff. What do? They're constantly rebelling. And so I look and go, God, what is the problem here? I mean, their God, who they had been praying to for 430 years, just delivered them by his power. And they rebelled. And so I go, okay, Lord, what would cause people to rebel after seeing power? The lack of presence. The lack of presence. Because, you know, we'll get into it a little bit more, but you see it all through Scripture, Old and New Testament. Power is what we need immediately at times. Presence is, we got to work at it. We've got, you know, this is Pentecost Sunday. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on the believers on Pentecost Sunday, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, giving them what? Presence of the Holy Spirit living in there, producing power and purpose. But we forgot about the, or they, a lot of times they did. So I look and I go, okay, they rebelled against God seeing his power. If you jump up to the New Testament, think of any stories, not necessarily rebelling, but when Jesus fed, see if I have that written down, in John 6:26, and this is out of the New Living, this is where Jesus fed the 5,000, and then they were searching for him. Where is he? Where are you? What are you doing? And Jesus replied and said, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous sign. Okay, they seen the miraculous sign, but they wanted food. You know, they're going, I want food right now because that's my immediate need. You know, and a little story years ago, I won't go into what happened, but my BC days, I was a pretty wild man, and I got hurt. I got a knee injury, a pretty bad knee injury, and I was in so much pain. I mean, I was excruciating pain all night long, and I called my sister, who was 14, didn't know how to drive a clutch. I said, get in my truck and go get my friend so he could take me to the hospital. I can't drive your truck. I made her. I said, you just get in that truck right now, and you go get Steve, the friend Steve. So I get to the doctor, and he's trying to explain. He said, I don't care. I want a shot. That's all I want. I don't care what happened, what's wrong, how long it's going to take. Right now, I want a shot. So he gave me a shot. Started feeling better. I was out for quite a while. But if I would have just left it there, he goes, you're going to have PT, man. You're going to really have to take care of that. And if I would have just wanted the power to heal that knee, or just to make that knee feel better, my knee, it was hurt bad, I'd have a bad knee today. But because the doctor said, there's going to be a next step, I said, okay, but right now, let's take care of the immediate need. But I followed through with what the doctor said. So I got mobility in my knee. So that pretty good analogy on wanting those three things. Amen? I just wrote down so many people, they'll stop following because they want one of the P's, and that's power. They want one of the P's, and who doesn't want power? And by the way, it's not wrong. I want power. I want to see God's power. I want to see God's power move more than we've ever seen it in the church today. I mean, I want to see supernatural signs and wonders and healings and culture shift and you name it. I want to see it all. That's God's power. But I don't want none of it if it's going to take me from God's presence. You know, and it can. It can. Real quick little story. If you haven't read a book, it was called Anointed to Serve. And a really good book about the communist takeover of Cambodia. And the Khmer Rouge came in, and it was ruthless. I mean, they killed over a million innocent Cambodians. But there was a couple that God had used, Todd and Leanne Burke, and the revival was breaking out. We're talking Book of Acts revival. It was just amazing. And so God was preparing. Well, one guy, God was using him in healing over and over and over, and they sent him north in the country. And revival was just breaking out. Well, then all of a sudden, word get back that he having an affair. There was a lot of sinful stuff going on. And when God told the missionaries, if you don't deal with him, I will remove my blessing on your ministry. By the way, they were the last foreign missionaries to leave the country before the communists totally took over. But it was just amazing. So when they talked to the guy, they said, what were you thinking? He goes, I knew it was wrong, but God was still using me. So he lost presence, but he was still experiencing the power. Now, don't even ask me to explain that, because that's way beyond me. You know, Jesus said, some will say to me on that day, didn't we do? But Jesus says, I depart from me. I don't get that one. I don't get that one at all, how if Jesus can tell somebody, depart from me, I never knew you, but they're performing miracles. They had faith to see power, but they didn't have presence. You know, so. Okay, so tell you the story of the knee. By the way, my sister was not happy for a long time on that. But she learned how to drive a clutch the hard way. So I think right now what God's doing is, and you know what a Kairos moment is? We're in a Kairos right now, right? God's word for right now. And I believe we're in a Kairos time. Because I've been a Christian 46 years. And I've seen good, bad, and ugly in the church. I've seen God do some amazing things. And I've seen ugly things. But I'm going, okay, God, we have been praying for me for 46 years. I got saved in the end of the 70s, and it was just kind of the end of the Jesus movement. And we're going, okay, we want to see this again. What's going on? Why aren't we seeing this? What's going on? And I believe today God's knocking, saying there's a Kairos moment coming. And so to me, I go, hold on to your seatbelts and get ready, because we're going to see some amazing things. Presence, power, purpose. Kairos moment. So I'm excited. I'm excited about it. So read real quick Acts. You don't have to turn there, but Acts 1, famous portion of scripture, 1:8. Because Jesus said to wait for the power to come from on high. So they're going, okay, they just experienced Jesus' resurrection. That'd been pretty exciting. I mean, we don't know all the miracles Jesus did in that 40 days. I mean, I think John said the world couldn't contain everything that happened then, you know. So amazing stuff. But Jesus said, there's more. There's more. I want you guys to wait, because I want something that you're going to experience my presence. They experienced his power over and over and over. But Jesus said, I want to do something. You're going to experience my presence in such a personal way that it becomes so real. And you know, when you hear this statement, and I've made it, and I believe with God's grace, I will die for my faith if I have to, because of God's presence. Not because of anything, not because of his power, except he saved me, that power, but the presence of God. And I equate presence with peace a huge amount of time. Because most of my Christian walk, God's peace has kept me. It's kept me through the good, bad, and ugly of life and the hard times and the good times, but God's peace. And when I lose that peace, and I'm sure if you guys have been Christians very long, you've experienced what you're feeling, the loss of peace. God doesn't leave. You know, I tell people, God loves, cannot love us any more than he does. And he can't love us any less than he does. God is the same yesterday and day forever. So that's in stone. Give your life to Jesus, you're following Jesus, you're saved. But it's like, God, but I'm missing something. So when all of a sudden I start losing peace, I go, what's going on, God? I'm not saying just having a bad moment or a bad, you know, a bad day, or getting in an argument with my wife, and I go, God, what's going on? And you know, we got to deal with that because I hate the feeling. But with God, I'm going, something is missing in my life right now. So I do introspect, which I do quite often. I go, okay, God, what is going on in me to where I'm not experiencing your peace, presence? God's there. God never moves, but I'm not experiencing. What am I doing wrong? You know? And a lot of times it's like, well, man, you've been running. You have been running. And, you know, I look at it, a Martha, Mary. You guys have all heard stories about Martha and Mary, right? I am Martha. My wife is Mary. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And so I get running. I get busy. Matter of fact, a little quick story. Cerise, my niece, she was helping worship here. Her little baby, awesome little baby. Well, they took a 3-day vacation. So Bobby and I said we'd watch the baby. We were moving. I was preparing for this. We were a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And we had that little 15-month-old baby, just love her to death, driving me crazy. She was everywhere you go, she was just like this. And I go, wow, Cerise, give her double grace. You know, because when this is the Mary moment, right? I those 3 days, I didn't have much time for Mary moment. So I get that. But here's me. There's a lot of times I have time for Mary moment. I don't take it. I don't take it. I go, you know what? I want to go do this or do that. And lately, this is my little thing I've been doing. The weather's gotten nice. I walk about an hour every morning. And usually I'll put worship music in. Well, the last couple of weeks, I leave the music at home. I just go, God, because I love to worship Jesus. And I go, God, I just want to just meditate. Yeah, I just want to meditate. It's Psalms 1, meditate on the law of the Lord. And in the law, you'll be like a tree. This is my paraphrase, messing it up. Be like a tree planted by the water and deep roots. So I go, okay, God, I gotta turn the news off. I gotta even turn the worship off. I just need you. When I read the word now, I'm going, God, I want to devour your word. And I've read from cover to cover several times, and I'm not against that. Matter of fact, if you haven't did it, you probably should. But just doing that, I can miss so much of what God's saying. So now it's like, God, speak to me today in your word. I want to hear. I like somebody, I think it was Twyla Paris quoted a long time ago, get to know him through his word. Better still to hear his voice. Remember, his voice will never contradict the word. But what does the voice mean? Intimacy. Intimacy. So how intimacy? Well, that means time. That means time. In my busy life, I'm running. I'm praying for people all the time, man. I've just said, Lord, I don't care if I'm at a coffee shop. Somebody's good. Can I pray for you? And I want to see God's power. And I believe God wants us to walk in that. But God, I want that presence. Don't let me get so caught up in it that I miss that presence. So, and then that kind of gets into purpose. You kind of see where all these go hand in hand. But I was thinking, this would go like into Psalms 51, where David, of course, we understand the sin, the severity of it, and he lost the presence of God because of sin. But he said, against you only have I sinned. Well, I go, no, you didn't. You committed sin against a whole bunch of people. But in his heart, he goes, I lost the presence of God. God, against you, I violated your word. And I am sorry. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Presence. David was all about presence. You know, so we love David because we look at his all the things he did wrong, but he never lost the sight of wanting that presence. And if we want to see God move like he's going to move, I believe, and there's pockets right now, and you guys are probably familiar, in a lot of different secular colleges, places going, Sean Fouts is going down to dark parts of the city, and God's just exploding and moving, and I'm so excited about that. And that's what God wants to do with everyone. He wants us to walk in that. So we want the Psalms 16:11, what I said, in your presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is what? My strength. So how can I have joy in a hard time? Because I have peace. Joy, God's joy does not mean fun always. I love having fun. Me and John will go fishing out of Flathead Lake, and when I catch a big fish, I am having fun. I love it. Little quick story. One time I was in Bible college and I called up John. I said, John, you got to take me fishing, man. And so we go out fishing and he hooks a big fish and he hands me his pole. I said, oh, thank you so much. Like a 15-pound trout. I said, oh, you're a saint right there. Anyway, so that's not the joy that God's talking about. He wants to bless us. Jeremiah 29:11, right? The blessing of the Lord. We love that verse. It's so awesome. God wants to bless us and prosper us. 1 John, I pray that you will prosper even as your soul prospers. Those are all good things. You got a vocation. You got a business. Prosper. Praise God. Pray you become a millionaire. I mean, just prosper. But God's going, those are secondary. Those are secondary. Yeah, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. We had a mentality for a long time in the church that God didn't want to bless us financially or materially. It's not about that. I like what one preacher said when it came to tithing. He goes, it's not about the number. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. So that's our whole life. So you hear stories of some of these Letourneau and Hershey and some of these people that became mega, mega rich that gave 90% of their wealth away. It was a heart. It was just, it's not about the number, it's about the heart. I believe in tithing, by the way, it's just having the heart in the right place. What's that? A joyful giver, exactly. Little side note there, God wants to be a joyful receiver too. I had a really hard time with that. My mother-in-law, she's in a memory care unit now, and I take care of all her stuff. And for quite a while, when she still had carried her own money, she would hand me $100. Yeah, I don't want your money. I want none. And so I wouldn't take it. And the Lord convicted me. She wants to bless you. I'm going, I don't need that money. He goes, she wants to bless you. Take the money. So it took me, the Lord speak to me to say, it's okay to be a good receiver too. You know, so that was a good lesson for me. Okay, so Psalms, let's see. Okay, another thing on Psalm, on back to Exodus 33:16. No, I won't turn there, but Moses said, we will not go. Now remember the story. The people were so rebellious over and over and over. And right before this verse, they built the golden calf. And they were worshiping the golden calf. And a whole bunch of people died because of God's judgment. And so then Moses is talking to God and saying, because God goes, you know what, Moses? Go. I'll give you the land. I'll send my angels with you. My promise to you will be still happen. I will give you this land. And Moses goes, no, God. We don't want the land if you're not there, if you don't go with us. And one of the reasons, because he had that such an intimate personal relationship, right? But he said, what distinguishes believers from non-believers? This is what Moses said. Your presence distinguishes them from us. And I love that. And you know, it's like I've told people, this is harder for me. I love one-on-one evangelism. But I tell people, my testimony is the most powerful thing I have. It's the most subjective to a non-believer because I can't prove it in a test tube, right? But what God did for me and took me from my BC days to where I am now, absolute supernatural miracle. And so that is the most powerful. So people look at me and they go, that's not the same. I've had people, old friends, go, "That you are different, Jim," because it's the presence of God that has changed my life. So that's what Moses said to these people, or to God. He goes, if you don't go with us, even if the angel goes, what's going to distinguish us? It's got to be your presence. So Psalms 92, 31, 20, we are hidden in the secret places of presence. Psalm 95, 2, come before his presence with thanksgiving. And I've said it already, but in Philippians 1, 4, or 4, 7, you're my peace. Jesus said, my peace. And you can equate it almost every time with presence. It's like, little side note, our pastor coined, I don't know if he coined it or not, but to me he did, righteousness. Kind of put this in here. Every time you read the word righteous, be righteous, righteousness in the Bible, replace that with how God sees it. Every time it fits. Be righteous, be how God sees it. I mean, every time you read that, you just put that phrase in there and go, wow, that really fits. Because God wants us to walk in how he sees it, his presence, right? So, yeah, I go to a jail ministry every Monday. There's about 15 of us and go minister to inmates. And I was telling the other ministers that, and they go, what? They start writing it down. And they come back and say, man, we're using that, you know, because it fits. So, okay, so strive to be in his presence. Let's see, Lord, take my will and make it that. Okay, I'm going to read something here in a minute. In 1 Peter, talking about the power, does anybody know what Greek, the word for power is in Greek? What is it? Dunamis. Dynamite. It's power. And so in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4, it says he has granted us divine dunamis, power. In everything pertaining to life and godliness. I love that. He has given us dynamite. He has given us power to walk the walk that separates us from the world. You know, and I believe with all my heart. And if you are struggling, for example, with a substance or whatever, we all do. We all have our battles at times. God will deliver and set you free. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle, not going to ever have a battle. But I've talked to so many people for 20, 30 years, that chain has never left them. And they're struggling. And I understand. I was there for a long time. And I fought God in prayer. And I said, God, I don't want to just maintain. I want freedom. And in Galatians, it says, for freedom we're set free. A simple verse, but it just says so much. God started breaking the chain of all the different stuff in my life. And today I can say, not perfect, not ever blown it, but the chains are gone. So I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm free. I mean, it's gone. It is gone. My son, he came back, who's not a Christian, but he came back from the war in Iraq. We went out to dinner and he wanted me to have a glass of wine. I said, because I haven't drank since I got saved. And he goes, it's okay, Dad, have a glass of wine. I said, yeah, but you don't get it. I don't want one. I said, I'm not bummed that I don't drink. It's gone. And I believe God will do that with every stronghold, substance, battles. He will set us free. And when we get hit with it, God, that's grace. This is grace. God, I blew it. I am so sorry. I got mad at that person. I mean, he drove me, he flipped me off. My old self would have went after him. And I go, God, I am not going to live there. I have a bad thought. I am not going to live there. I'm sorry. Grace. That's grace every time. I'm not going to live in it. I'm going to be free from it. But grace says, okay, you're forgiven. Let's go on. So we walk in that grace. So, okay. So in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the gospel, okay, this is, the gospel came in power in the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. And so what happened? This is power. First sermon, 3,000 people got saved. Peter's, I mean, they're all waiting. Some people say they were cowering, waiting. I don't know, Jesus had rose, but we don't know. Healing the lame man, the beggar. There's tons of them. 5,000 people got saved. Philip disappears on the road to preaching to the Ethiopian. And we're talking powerful things that was going on. All Jesus' miracles. So the reason I wrote that down, because it's important to understand, God wants miracles. He wants us to be a miracle-believing people. And somebody coined it, and I'm going, God, I pray for healing all the time. I can't say I've saw too much supernatural instant healings. I saw a few. I will never stop praying for him. And this guy goes, he was asked, because his church over in California, they've saw some amazing cancers fall off, huge stuff. And he goes, why doesn't it happen all the time? He goes, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. That was a good answer for me. I don't know why it doesn't happen all the time, but God said to keep on keeping on. So I'm going to keep on. This is seeking his power. Live in his presence, seek his power. We pray for people all the time. We're going to pray for one another a little bit here in just a minute. But so 1 John, where are we at here? Losing my spot. Greater works, 1 John 14:12, greater works, greater manifestation of power. And God wants us to understand that. So we're going, God, I don't do nothing, man. I mean, my job is mundane. I hardly ever see anybody. It's okay. It does not matter, vocation. It's so important to understand. Matter of fact, I call it the Billy Graham syndrome. And it was, I can't preach because Billy Graham is such a good preacher, or that style of preaching. There's people that have healing ministries that see so many things happen. Well, that doesn't happen to me. So why do it then? That's what I mean by the Billy Graham syndrome. God's going, because I didn't make you them. I made you you. So the most meek, mild grandma has a ministry that God will give that can reach people that you and I can never meet. You know, I'm real social. I'm outgoing. I love to one-on-one people. There's people that are really quiet. Cecil, a good friend of mine, we went on a six-state trip. He is like way quieter than I. He will reach people I never will, because that's how God works. But it's just being open, saying, God, here am I, use me. You know, so he's got a plan for you and for me, every one of us. And this, and really the crux of this, kind of this whole thing, is, God, what is your purpose for me today? You think he has a purpose? He has a purpose. And I'll talk about it here in a minute. What happens a lot of times, a couple more verses if you're writing them down on power, 2 Corinthians 13:4, Ephesians 3:16-21, Colossians 1:11. What happens a lot of times with power or with revival? Anybody want revival? We want revival. I grew up in this canyon, and most of you probably don't know, John and Sherry, and if you've been here, this has always been a dark, crazy place. I mean, I was one of them. My whole family was, it was a dark, crazy place filled with bars. And it started mainly during the dam that was built in the 40s and 50s. But so we're saying, Lord, we want power. We want revival. We want you to come in. But it's so dark. Here I am. Just use me. Just use me. You know, so wherever you are, whatever vocation, I worked for 36 years on the railroad. And most of that, I drove trains. And when I first got saved, I was a bulldog. I mean, I'd get somebody in a corner and they're going to pray with me before I left them. And they didn't do any good. I would just make sure they were going to pray for me. So I got a notch, you know. And the Lord convicted me. I said, what are you doing? So I'm doing your business. I said, no, you're not. So you can't save anybody. I want you to love them and share when I tell you to share. I'll do the rest. A burden fell off my back. And I love to share Jesus. I'll share Jesus all the time. But my motive and mindset has changed. God, you do the work. I'll share your word. He's my vessel. So I'm just going to you do the rest. And I leave that. If somebody starts arguing, I go, well, the Bible says this. Well, I don't believe the Bible. I'm not telling you to believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to argue with you. I just believe it. So here's what the Bible says. And it took me from that bulldog to going, okay, God, I still want to have the tenacity, but I want to have the tack. And remember that God wants us to be tenacious in our walk with him. Every fiber of our being, he wants it to just be Jesus. You know, and we look at Pentecost Sunday when actually Brent, our pastor, had a good message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a one-time thing. It's like a sponge. And you take a sponge and you put it in water and you pull it out, just dripping. Well, it starts getting low of water, you put it back in and you pull it out, just dripping. That's how God wants to live in us through the Holy Spirit. It's just dripping with God. So this has nothing to do with vocation or hobbies or Jesus in all of them. Jesus in all of them. You know, that's purpose, right? I read a little caption the other day and there was a cowboy mom and a little four-year-old girl. They were walking down the street and she said, what, mom, what's the purpose of life? And, you know, wow, everybody asks that question forever. She goes, to know Jesus and help people know him too. Can it be more simple? I mean, that's really the purpose in life. Otherwise, Jesus, take me home when I got saved. Because, no, I got a purpose. I got a plan to know me, help others know me. Well, yeah, but I'm starting this business. Good. Start the business. I'm there. Know me, help others to know me, whatever we're doing. Never separate Jesus from whatever you're doing, ever. Business, play. There's a lot of people that do that, unfortunately. And God's going, no, be in all of it. And talking about purpose, I was witnessing to a friend of mine who's an atheist. And we had a good conversation because it's like, I'm not going to the ring, but I'll discuss. So we have this good conversation on the holes in atheism and evolution. And he's pretty sharp, and we had a pretty good conversation. But when I brought up purpose, he stopped, and he goes, I can't give you an answer for that. He thought he could give me an answer for a lot of the other stuff. He goes, I can't give you an answer for purpose, because evolution doesn't, there's nothing in evolution that tells us. It can try to say why or how we're created, which we know is wrong, but it can't talk about purpose. Why do we driven? The human race is driven for purpose. Animals do what they're programmed to do. Humans are driven for purpose. Might be bad purpose, but that purpose is part of who we are. That's God. Because he goes, I have a purpose for creation. And that's us, right? So Isaiah 43:7, the ultimate purpose is to glorify God. So that's what I'm saying. And everything we think, do, and say, everything we think, do, and say, is this glorifying to God? You know, when my wife and I, we've been married 44 years, and if we get into a little spat and I walk away, my first thought is, did that glorify God? So, and we've been together so long, I know she's doing the same thing. So we come back and go, no, we're sorry. That didn't glorify God. It goes beyond who was right or who was wrong. The way I approach that did not glorify God. Sorry, God. Grace, forgiveness, let's go on. You know, so, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Thank you, Jesus, right? And by the way, these three things, you could go for weeks and weeks and weeks talking about these three things. But God's plan for our life is a good plan. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what God, your vocation is going to be. I don't know where God's going to lead you. It's a good one if you're holding on to God's hands. Sometimes we go, this is, man, I have, what's going on? Well, God might be teaching us, or we might let go of his hand. And you, most of you have heard the story, the footprint story for one, the sand, but where I'm going along and I let go of God's hand, God stops. He stops. I can be floundering. I have a brother, an older brother. He's 1,000 days sober, coming back to the Lord because he left the Lord, terrible alcoholic, crazy, bad story. But when he reached up, God's hand never moved. That's God's grace. His hand never moved. It was right where he left it. And that's what God's always after. God, here I am. And so that's, you prosper, you bless, but those are secondary. You know, be a good business person, be a good worker, prosper, do well, secondary, Lord. So anyway, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon summed it up. But of all this stuff, if you've read Ecclesiastes, it's like, man, this is kind of depressing. You know, if vanity, everything's vanity, what is life? I mean, the richest guy in the world, smartest guy in the world, more women in the world. And he's going, what is life? Vanity. Man, why is that book in the Bible? You know, because it's the reality of life. But what did he say in Ecclesiastes 12:13? Summed it all up to fear God and keep his commandments. So simple. The gospel really is simple. I didn't say it's easy. It's just simple. Love God and keep his commandments. Everything else is secondary. Everything else will take us from that. And we're going, where's this going? Are you loving God and you're keeping his commandments? That's where introspect comes in. You know, God, why am I struggling? Am I doing something? If not, you can say, okay, God, what's going on? You're dealing with me. There might be some external thing that I can't do anything about. I just want to have grace to take care of that. But if there's something, if I'm missing something, show me. His grace always brings us around to that place. Ephesians 2, one of my favorite passage scriptures, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. We're saved by faith through grace. By grace through faith. That not of ourself, lest any man should boast. So we can't work it up. We can't be good enough. Simply can't. But the next verse we don't talk about a lot. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Solomon summed it up. Love God and obey his commandments. Paul said in Ephesians, God created us for good works. Salvation is taken care of if we've given our life to Jesus. We can't earn it. We can't work our way. We can't be good enough. But God's going, but I got a plan. I created you for a plan. God, you don't know how much I messed up. Quick, short version of a story, a guy I've been ministering to for 2 years in jail. He's going to prison for murder for a long time. Give his life to the Lord. And I said, God is going to use you more than you can imagine. And I said, you can be freer on that side of the glass than I can be in here or than people out on this side. And so was that God's plan? No. God did not want this guy to go to prison for murder. But God's got a plan for him. That's grace. Always A, B, C, D, E. You can just keep going. You're going, God, I've blown it so many times. God's going, grace. Got a plan. Got a plan. Love God. Keep his commandments. Yeah, you read 70 times 7? You guys ever read that? Monty Christensen. I mean, great book. He was in and out of prison, sentenced to life. I mean, crazy stuff. And 70 times 7 is how many times God got him out of prison. Now he's an evangelist, and for years he's been just serving the Lord. And then Romans 8:28. Everybody know Romans 8:28? We use it a lot. We're called, all things work together for good. What? For those who are called according to God's purpose. We've used that a lot of times, say all things work together for good. Okay? Are we called, are we loving God with all our heart and keeping his commandments? You know, because it's not going to work good. This guy in jail, all these guys in jail, it's not working good for them because they weren't doing the last part of Romans 8:28. You know, so God's got that plan. All right. Getting close here. So there's a story. I'm going to just tell you this story. I want to read this one little thing. But there was a farmer. He was had a precious pocket watch handed down to him, and he lost it in the barn. And it was just, he searched and searched and searched, and he couldn't find it. A bunch of kids around. He said, "Hey, guys, everybody just hit that barn. See if you can find it." Nobody could find it. So he finally said, "Okay," gave up. And, "Okay, it's lost." So one kid said, "Can I go back in there?" He said, "Yeah." So he goes in by himself, and a little while later, he comes out, and he has the watch. And the guy goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I listened. There was no noise. And I said, I listened for the ticking." I went, "I like that. Because we listen, presence. We listen, peace." So that's how God wants us to walk. So so purpose. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit covers all three, right? God's presence. A lot of times will bring excitement, intimacy, growth, God's power, miracles, boldness, salvation, God's purpose. And then when you can look at, like I was studying revivals and some of the revivals of the past, many Bible colleges that we have today came out of revivals. It started Azusa Street and a lot of others, they came out of revivals. So what happened is revivals hit and excitement and God's moving. If you guys familiar with Azusa Street? If Azusa Street, if you study the Azusa Street revival, miracle after miracle, I mean, supernatural, arms growing and documented stuff, amazing stuff, and people getting saved. Assemblies, Foursquare, a whole bunch of denominations started because of Azusa Street. So what do you do? Well, we got to train. We got to train Bible colleges. So Bible college ministry started, great. Unfortunately, a lot of times we go there and we forget about the presence and power. So we can theologize power right out of the picture. The Pharisees were examples. They knew theology. They knew the word. So God's going, "No, I want that, but not at the expense of presence and power." So let's be a people, let's be a person seeking people, walking in God's, or let's be a present seeking people, walking in God's power and fulfilling his purpose for our life. Amen? Let me read one thought and then we're going to pray. So I prayed this prayer about 45 years ago. It says, "Lord, take my will and make it thine. Laid on thine altar, O Lord divine, accept my will this day for Jesus' sake. I have no jewels to adorn thy shrine, nor any worldly fame sacrifices to make. But here I bring within my trembling hand this will of mine, a thing that seemeth small. But thou alone, O God, dost understand how, when I yield thee this, I yield my all. Hidden therein, thy searching gaze can see struggles of passion, visions of delight, all that I love and am and fain would be. Deep love, fond hopes, and longings infinite. It has been wet with tears and dimmed with sighs, clutched in my grasp till beauty it has none. Now from thy footstool, where it vanquished lies, thy prayer ascendeth, may thy will be done. Take it, O Father, ere my courage fail, and merge it so in thine own will, that even if in some desperate hour my cries prevail, and thou give back my will, it has been so changed, so purified, so fair have grown, so one with thee, so filled with peace divine, I may not see it nor know it as my own, but gaining back my will, I may find it thine." That's God's heart, man. So real quick, I want to pray for a minute. I know with a group this size, there are some people that need some prayer. I've already talked to a few people. Does anybody here have physical ailments that need prayer? I want to pray for Yvonne. Anybody else here that have any physical ailments that you want prayed for? Everybody's good? Everybody's okay? So another thing, has anybody here never accepted Jesus as your Savior? Ever? So I'm assuming most of you are all saved. I want to give an opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'd love to pray with you. So Yvonne, you don't have to get up. Could I get some of you guys and Cecil? We want to pray for Yvonne. And what was your first name again? Kate and Kate. So if you guys, could we stand up? And Yvonne, you don't have to stand up. Yvonne has MS and she needs God's touch. So if you guys, a few of you want to gather around, we'll pray for them. If there's any, anybody else has any physical or any, whatever the need, we'll pray. And by the way, when we're done, we have fellowship time, food back here, snacks. So you guys are all welcome to come. And so Yvonne, we're just going to pray and believe for a miracle. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you, Lord. You said wherever two or more are gathered, you're there in the midst, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, we are all standing on your word, and we're saying power, Lord, power to heal. Lord, this is Pentecost Sunday. This is where you told the people to wait, and the power of God would come upon those people, and they would be your witnesses, and they would be strong, and they would do exploits, Lord. So we're agreeing right now for Yvonne, from her head to her feet, this MS, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the healer, and we're believing that you're touching her body, Lord. This is beyond man. What's beyond the doctors is not beyond you. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you that we're going to see some progress in healing, total healing for in her body. Lord, bless her in a powerful, supernatural way, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, and we're believing, Lord. We're just believing with her in Jesus' name, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Amen. And hallelujah. So do you want to share or just want
sure,
us to pray?
Yeah, I have.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Kate, Lord, same thing. Lord, you're the healer, Lord. Touch her body, Lord, this cardiac pain chest. That's a scary thing. Lord, so we're just saying right now, touch her body, Lord. When they look, they're going, wow, there's nothing wrong. We're believing for that the report from the doctors is going to be nothing there. Total healing, Lord. It is by your power. And we're praying as brothers and sisters, Lord. You said, cast our prayers, Lord. The effectual fervent prayer avails much. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we're praying for Kate. And we're saying, it is gone. It is gone. In Jesus' name. She is healed in Jesus' name, Lord. Again, the doctors are going to go, wow, there is nothing here. Lord, so we just thank you for that, Lord. You're such a good God. You're a God of power and of might, Lord, and we thank you for your grace, your love, your presence, the purpose in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. And like I said, we have fellowship back here, coffee, goodies.